Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
I am Jenny Tatman. We are at the Midwest Genealogy Center. It is Thursday, September 14th, 2017, and I am with Susan Stanton. Would you like to introduce yourself, Susan? Say hello.
Good evening to everybody.
All right, and Susan has graciously agreed to come in and talk with me this evening. She is going to share some of her experiences as a volunteer who has volunteered at a few different, like the World War I Museum, and you said at the Wall, and then also share her experience as a family member of several veterans. Is that kind of correct?
No.
Okay.
No. My goal, no, the volunteer things were just simply extra. No.
Okay.
My goal was simply to come in and talk about being a family member.
Okay. And we can certainly do that.
The volunteer thing was just an add-on.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to be funny, but that was
okay.
That was the reason for my showing up.
Okay. So kind of to go into that, you said your father was a World War II veteran.
Correct.
Would you like to talk about that?
Well, my father served as a captain in the Army in World War II, and he ended up being a disabled veteran. He nearly lost an arm. They were able to salvage the arm, but he lived with that disability for the rest of his life. So there was a predisposition to understanding disability and accommodation and all the things that go with that. And then many years later, his eldest son served in Vietnam and was killed in action in 1966.
All right. What was your father's name?
George Stanton, and not my brother's name.
Yeah, what was your brother's name?
Edward Stanton.
Okay. Do you have any, or how old were you when your father was serving in World War II?
I was not around.
Oh, okay.
I was.
So you were around after.
Okay. I came afterwards.
Did you hear any, you know, stories from him? Did he talk about the war at all?
He did. He talked very little about it. I know he's, as I review my family histories, I look back as an adult, mm-hmm. I see how much he did suffer and said very little. He was always very interested in what was going on in the world and so on, and seemed to have a knack for what was going on, an insider view. But he did not talk about the war. He was not active with different outreaches, with different groups. It's almost like it was something that happened. This was something he was living with. And he was doing it, as I would say, independently as he could, in the sense that all of his activities pointed toward a life of normalcy. The war was just something that he had to deal with, and he had to live with that disabling condition all of his life, and it did affect his decisions, but the goal was normalcy.
Okay. So the war, or being in the military, was that a lot of part of your growing up, or you said he really wasn't?
He did not talk about it. We did not. We were very young at the time. We did not ask about it. If we would ask a specific thing as a child, he might answer it, frame it as you would for a child, but No, we didn't talk about it. He didn't seem interested in talking about it. He didn't seem to want to talk about it either.
Okay.
So, and the few times that the subject was brought up or there were questions that were too close to things, it did seem to upset him, so it was something that was not discussed.
Okay. Was there anything else, you know, with your father related to the war, his time in the military, that you do remember? I mean, even though it was, I guess it was
before. When I say he had many flashbacks, mm-hmm. there were many, as an adult, and I look back to what happened and what I know as an adult, I can often see where, even though he didn't talk about the war as such, mm-hmm. it still was very much a part of who he was, and there was no way you could divorce the two. And in the way he reacted, and the way he didn't react, and the way he thought about things. So it never left him.
Okay. Was he a part of any, like, military service organizations, or you said he really wasn't?
Not that I am aware of. He did receive a, for lack of a better term, I don't know what to call it, because, as I said, they were not sure in 1944 if they could save the left arm. They mm-hmm. did end up saving it, but he was a disabled veteran, so he got veterans benefits.
Okay.
And he was connected to the veterans in that way. But he held down a regular job. He pretty much, I cannot think of any organization specifically designed for veterans or whatever that he had belonged to. No.
Okay. I guess, did you want to also talk a little bit about your brother and his service, or was there anything else with your father you wanted to talk about?
Well, I was just, the bridge I was going to build between those two was mm-hmm. when my dad was drafted in World War II. He didn't have a choice.
Okay.
He just had to go.
How old was he when he went?
When, Dad, I mm-hmm. don't know. I'm guessing probably, he was in college. I'm guessing mid-20s, I don't
okay.
know.
Okay, okay.
But he was drafted. Eddie voluntarily went, and this was in 1965, he was very young, and he had known one of our neighbors who he was very attached to, a fatherly type, and he had been a Marine, so Eddie was
okay.
kind of following in those footsteps, and also the promise that, you know, that they would help with his education. I mean, that was part of the motivating factor. So he went in, he was fresh out of high school, very willing to go. When he went over there, and I guess the fall of 65, he wasn't sure when or if he'd ever see active duty. He did not know what the future was going to hold for him, but he was glad that he had done this because he needed to follow through with it. He went over, I'm going to abbreviate this, he went over very shortly after he went through basic training. It seemed like he went over in the fall of 65, and then within the year, he was sent over to Vietnam. And he was wounded. The first time he was wounded, it was a very severe wound. They sent him back to the States because they couldn't treat him over there. They sent him back to Great Lakes Hospital in Illinois. And Dad had to go get him, pick him up from the hospital and bring him home.
Oh.
And then as soon as he recovered, they sent him back. That produced quite a bit of family strife because my father had some strong
right.
reactions to that.
Right.
And Eddie was of the opinion that everybody in his boat pretty much had to do the same thing, and probably there were a lot of very upset families at the time because as soon as they got better, they were right back. And the second time he was wounded, we just got a notice of it. He was wounded. They were going to treat him there. Nothing too severe. They'd get him back to health and send him back. So, okay. And then when he was sent back the third time to the active line, they said they put him on a security line. And as the letter we have stating his death just said that his group was ambushed and that he was killed instantly and never knew what hit him. And so for that, as a family, we are very grateful that he just did not suffer. He didn't lay there and be captured, nothing. He was there, he was gone. And as paradoxical as that sounds, that was a relief to us, at least, to know that. But during that year, the bridge I saw, my father's, you asked about my father's World War II experiences, I saw the World War II man come back. Brilliant. Because during that time when Eddie was over there, it's like, since he had already been in a war zone, he knew what it was like, and you couldn't have asked for a more faithful parent.
Wow.
I'm sure there were many out there, but he was right up there with them because he understood both sides. And so the World War II person really came out of the shadows because he was going to make sure that Eddie was as comfortable as he could be. I was in high school when Eddie died. I was very close to Eddie. I don't know what happened to the letters that I wrote back. I have some of them. I don't have all of them. But the letters I was able to salvage, even think I was writing to a parent because I was asking him about everything.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he probably wanted to burn every one of them that he got because they were boring to him, probably. But Eddie's death hit me more like losing a parent as opposed to your big brother. Mm-hmm. And I went into college, and at that time, that's when all the demonstrations about the war, because this was 1968.
Yeah.
And this is when Kent State and all this other stuff was brewing over, and all the protests on the college campuses, and I was very torn. Eddie was gone, so I was on one side, I was very confused. I felt like I would be betraying him if I participated in anything. I felt like I should, I shouldn't. I didn't know. I didn't care, maybe, because I didn't know. And be that as it may, it took me a long time to come out of that mindset. I wanted to remember Eddie in a healthy way. I didn't know how. I wanted to proactively do something to connect with the people that were left to extend a helping hand. I didn't know how. I didn't know if I wanted to. And it was just a very, very odd period of time because there was just so much animosity, and I felt so angry in one sense because I wasn't quite sure about all these protesters. But then again, and I was getting an awful lot of backlash from family members of, you better not.
Yeah.
And also, even within the family, I'm speaking of the extended family, you had one side of the family on one side of the equation and one side on the other. And it became a very tenuous situation. And there were just situations that you just didn't have a conversation about because it would not, you couldn't agree to disagree, if
right.
you will. And
and you're talking about, like, politically or about the war?
About the
your
war
family
itself,
is very
involvement
divided.
Or not. And
right.
and at that time, at the time this was going on. Eddie was already gone, but still, we had an investment. So it was a very tender area, if you will.
Yes.
And so it just, it took many years, and I'm abbreviating this, many years to come to term, and I'm speaking for myself now.
Yeah.
But it took many years for me to come to terms with the appropriate way that I could actually do something and be at peace with myself for all my sins with Eddie, and I had many of them. He and I fought, even when he was home on leave, we fought.
Right.
I mean, he was...
But that's a sibling thing.
Yeah, I was 15, he was 19, we fought.
Right.
And I said some horrible things, and even, whatever. Mm-hmm. But bottom line is that, I guess that's part of the beauty. But
right.
But anyway... Excuse me. What I have found in all these years, and also it's taken maturity too on other fronts, mm-hmm. but where I have found my peace is the fact that we are all interconnected. We all indirectly have an obligation to each other to help the next generation, however that's defined, in whatever venue. And if you can do something to light someone else's path or to help them along or just to be a patient voice when they need to sound off, sometimes that's all that's necessary, then that is a good thing. That is a way to connect. When I saw the excerpts from the Ken Burns movie last Friday, mm-hmm. They interviewed a sibling, a sister, who said, and she said it exactly, I'm not quoting her, but she worded it exactly what I was feeling. She said, when that wall first came up, I didn't know what to think. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I didn't want to go there. I just wanted to forget it. But then once I went, it's like I made a connection, and it's like, it allowed me a path to healing. And that's kind of where I'm at with it. I mean, I didn't think of it in those terms, but that's exactly what that...
Yeah.
Because I pretty much had that same reaction. And my volunteerism with the mm-hmm. World War I Museum, and I have various other things I get involved with, it's a way to help. It's a way that I see that I can make an active difference, and something that in giving back to someone else, you're giving them the opportunity to pass it on. It's because we all are connected. And that's kind of it in a nutshell, as I say. I'm trying to be brief.
No, that is great. I love your story, and I'm sure your volunteerism and your, you know, I don't know if it's kind of honoring your father and your brother.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is, because it's interesting. Well, the very first time I went, which was a traveling wall, and it came through Brookside, and this mm-hmm. was back in the 90s, because I graduated from college with a bachelor's degree and worked for quite a few years because I didn't know what I wanted to do with the master's. I didn't know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then I went back in the 90s, and that's the time the wall came through, and they were looking for volunteers.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if I wanted to do it, but I knew I had to do it.
Right.
I knew I had to do it, and... for myself, I had to do it. And once I got there, and you went and you took somebody and you showed them the name and whatever, you never just heard the name. You never just took them. There was always a story. There was always some hurt. There was always something that they felt the need to talk about. And it dawned on me at that point, and that was back in 92 or whatever it was, this is why I wanted to do it. Because by hearing them and connecting to me and whatever, all these connections take place. And ever since this movement began with the Ken Burns movie and all the salute to veterans and so on, I've thought of things with Eddie and with that period of time I had forgotten about.
Really?
I had forgotten how old I am.
No.
I had forgotten, really, that I'm not forever 21, but which is probably a good thing. But no, it's just there were a lot of things that I just hadn't forgotten about. And, you know, and that doesn't mean you don't cry sometimes, you don't get wistful. I don't think I ever hear taps where I don't get wistful. I don't think I ever look at the flag-draped coffins that come back, that you don't feel some kind of somber feeling. A war family is a war family, and they survive it, and that's wonderful. And you have an obligation to them as well to help them to readjust and make their lives easier for what they gave. And but you don't stay there. You don't stay in that let's cry and let's be sad and isn't it too bad. Yes, maybe all those things were true. Over time, you allow them to heal and become a good strong foundation so you can build and reach out to others and give to others, because if you stay there, that's not a healthy place to be either on any arena. So I did not realize that Vietnam had that effect on me at the time, and I didn't for many years, but as I've gotten older and expanded and seen all the interconnections and had an interest, it's made a big difference.
That's great. So, well, was there anything else with your, you know, experiences with your family you wanted to share, or?
As it relates to the war, just that we very much support the military. As I said, my father was a veteran. My mother was a volunteer with the Red Cross during that time. That's how they met.
Oh, okay.
So we're very much involved in that, and it's my interest to continue to do what I can do to support whatever I can to make things a little easier for someone else. And I think everybody has a story to tell, no matter what side of the table they sit on. And I think, if nothing else, by the fact you're collecting all these stories from various points of view, it shows how, even though we're all different and had different opinions, how very interconnected we all are.
Right.
And I think, in the sense, that is very healing. When you can look back and you can say, yes, I made that mistake, and yes, I was wrong, or yes, I was right, or I'm glad I made that sacrifice, and just go on. But and I think it's great that, I really do, I applaud the fact that the project is reaching out to everybody and not just a certain portion or a certain branch or even a certain military strike.
Yeah.
Because it's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions that came in, because after the excerpts on Friday, they with the Ken Burns showing, they had the audience ask questions. And from the audience, and he would try to address them as best he could. And one of the questions was, why, something to the effect of, why aren't the people who come home given the same type of recognition that those who don't? And he was trying to illustrate that anyone who puts on a uniform and puts themselves in harm's way is a hero.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it may be a different thing, but it's all the same again.
Yeah.
So I'm glad, I truly am very glad that you are getting stories from all sides.